welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys, a place where you can go to, always looking for solutions rather than just complaining. We will bring you information.
I'm going to complain. Yeah. We're not going to complain today.
Don't complain. You know our little caveat here that goes with this thing. You complain, that means you get to come do it. All right? So that's how it works. That means the Lord is touching you to make a difference.
Careful about that. Somebody might actually take you up on that.
You can. Just write in and write to us at the number three.
Wise guys.
At
HebrewNation.net.
That's number three.
Wise guys.
At
HebrewNation.net. And you can complain as much as you want, but that means you might have to become a wise guy then by doing it, all right?
Or gal.
Or gal. Yeah, you might have to do it.
But you can't complain without doing something.
That's right. Gotta come do something.
Some skin in the game.
Don't you love that? I mean, I've always thought that if people are complaining, then that means their eyes are wide open to something that we need help with. And if they know that we need help with something, then that means they should step up and
help.
Yeah, right? Come on ahead. Let's go ahead. Well, today is, Aaron, we always...
Because Roland can always use some help.
Oh, always. Always. Here's the question for you. You know, as things materialize and we start seeing the world get more and more crazy, what are you going to do to provide a solution? That's the question. What are you going to do to provide a solution rather than just seeing ugly things around you and complaining about it? You know, what are you going to do?
I'm going to tell you my answer.
Okay. That's it?
That's it. I'm going to tell you my answer. Because we all know that my answer is right.
Yeah, right?
Most of the time.
Well, you know, there's this common format when you guys listen to talk radio, right? I mean, you'll listen to anyone, even the big guys. They always go by they do their own fair share of fire lighting, right? Which is
gaslighting.
The headline or gaslighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, fire lighting. Gaslighting. What is the difference on that?
I think just the term. I mean, it's going to be the same thing, but, you know.
Oh, maybe it has some gaslighting. Have you ever, I've poured gas on fires before.
Oh, yeah. We've got a couple right here, too.
It's fun.
Tad, we just had another. He's taken one of the, the sprayers.
Oh, yeah,
the backpack sprayers.
Oh, yeah, with the propane thing on it?
No, just like for weeds and stuff. And fertilizer or stuff like that. You wear it on the back, you pressurize it, and you just like got a little sprayer. Well, he's put diesel in it. And so he just sprays diesel on it. And so flames are going 20 feet in the air. And it's like, okay, that's the way to get a fire going hot.
But that's like $7 a gallon for diesel.
Well, it is now. This was old diesel, so it was like half price.
Do you know what truckers, truckers are spending to fill up a truck is well over
grand.
Yeah, it's well over $1,000.
Yeah.
Did we just gaslight?
No, we diesel lighted.
Okay. Gaslighting goes kaboom. Fire lighting's just kind of...
It's a little slower reaction.
Yeah.
It's a little more controlled.
So what are you this morning as you're listening? Are you a gaslighter or a fire lighter? And I think the thing that we have to ask ourselves, we always listen to the radio shows getting gaslit for 2 hours or 3 hours straight. But there's never any solution to ungaslight the fire.
No, there is. Continue to listen to that radio station.
Oh, yeah.
That's the solution.
Well, maybe people aren't listening to us because we're on gaslighting long enough.
Yeah, stop.
Tuck is just has his eyes crossed over here. He's looking at us like, what is wrong with you guys?
We all want answers, and most of the time we don't have answers to give. Because answers to give, to me anyway, is having a plan and stating your plan.
Takes some thought, doesn't it?
And people, just generally speaking, ourselves included, if you just react to a situation, if you don't think it, you don't think it through, you don't place yourself in that situation, you're just going to react.
So we gaslight ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, well, we're going to ask for people who have solutions. You can write in and talk to us,
you know, and we'd love to hear your comments.
Or call.
Or call.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. I got to look that up. Hang on.
We don't say it enough anymore to remember it exactly.
I'm going to find
that. If you remember it, give us a call and tell us.
Please.
I'm going to find that number right now. All right? So we're going to do that. I'll start at 503-967-3001. Hey, we got it.
We have to just say it, you know? My word. Hey, we did it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Maybe it's because of our ignorance that people will actually listen now.
503-967-3001.
You got it. And you can call and talk. What is your solution to the negativity that is going around on our world today?
Education.
Well, that's a good answer.
Get you an edumacation.
Yep. We don't need no education.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, you probably know the story as to why they wrote that song.
I don't.
I used to, but I can't remember what it is.
All I know is I like the lyrics because, I mean, we put these kids in a classroom and put them,
tramp.
And we want to get them in this mold, mm-hmm. and they can't move out. It's just a block.
That's what it was.
Really?
It was a push back against the indoctrination of schooling.
Yeah. Can't think outside the box.
Yeah.
Can't do any of these things.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, some of the problems in our world today have to do with this particular month. You know,
mm-hmm.
What is this month called anyway?
June.
That's what it is.
2020.
It is June.
But the world has renamed it to be Pride Month.
Pride Month.
Yeah.
I used to think that.
I'm a proud person.
Yeah.
Does that mean it?
No, you're not allowed to come to that parade.
Oh, okay, okay.
They want you to be proud
of something else.
Something else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it used to be just be Pride parades and then Pride Day, and now to really make sure they drive it home, it was Pride Week, and now we're at Pride Month.
Well, you know, it was Pride Day. Remember, you know what Pride Day is?
No. Well, kind of.
It's Father's Day.
I like that.
No. You know why it's Father's Day?
Really? Tell me.
Because everybody's gay because they had bad fathers.
Oh,
so they intentionally picked Father's Day for all of their gay pride parade stuff.
Are you gaslighting, or is that something that you looked up?
That's the reason.
Really?
That's the reason that they chose that Sunday.
That's even more disturbing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to give you some things here. I was just looking at this whole thing. We have, in order to make this thing more appeasable to everyone, we now have gender-neutral bathrooms. That was a big discussion. Biologically male transgenders competing against female athletes. We have drag queen story hours at public libraries. We have all of our Marvel movies with same-sex kissing.
Because superheroes, you know, don't have the ability to procreate, so it doesn't matter, right?
Right. And I used to think that HGTV was a pretty safe channel, you know? But now we have the House Hunter Thruple, you know? Which is,
I haven't heard of that one yet.
What's Thruple?
It's the Thruple that is.
It's a three-people couple?
Yeah, the three-people couple. Where the Sesame Street has a cross-dressing gay icon now on Sesame Street.
Oh, dear.
On the Lego Masters, we have cross-dresser and same-sex couples. And then, of course, we have AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. her pledge of allegiance to the drag is what she came up with.
Ugh.
Yeah. You know, this is starting to really get in our face, you know. Aaron, I know you'd found something out there in Texas and that some of you guys had maybe paid attention to. And I think the question that we have to ask ourselves, is there anything that can be done about this, or is it too long? What happened in Texas?
It was Drag Your Kids to Pride.
Yeah,
a family-friendly drag show.
So drag your kids there, whether they wanted to believe it or not. Drag your kids to Pride.
Force them to believe it. That's what kills me, is they're forcing their children to do this.
Yeah.
The children don't want any part of it.
No.
But they're making them do this, and where's the freedom in that?
Well,
that's so hypocritical.
Well, if we're paying attention, I mean, we now know that, you know, the, what do you call those guys who do bad things to kids?
Oh, pedophiles?
Pedophiles.
Yeah.
They're actually starting to come out with an agenda to push for normalcy.
Yeah.
And become part of this whole LGBTQRS.
T, X, Y, Z.
Agenda.
Whatever.
W, K,
it's who,
G.
Big on stupidity.
Well, it's who they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
yeah.
It's just who I am.
We should be able to marry a four-year-old.
And you should accept me for who I am.
Yeah. Just like.
That kind of stupidity is ridiculous, because if that is true, if you want me to believe that, well, then you have to believe anything that I want as well.
No.
Talk, no.
Come on, no. Now you're talking insanity talk. I mean,
you've had hundreds of years to talk about yourself.
How old am I? I'm 68 years old.
It doesn't matter that you're a white, heterosexual
male.
I can't even say the word.
Give me a gun.
I can't say the word. You've had too many years to speak. It's now our turn. It's
yeah.
The LGBTQRSTURV time to talk. And
Yahweh,
you need to accept
Yahweh, come and judge us, please.
I know, right?
Hurry.
Wow. I was really bothered about this thing in Texas.
Yeah. I mean, they went so far as, okay, so, yes, there was a drag show. Mm-hmm. These individuals would come out in skimpy G-strings and stuff like that. But it went so far as to having the kids go up and put the dollar bills in the G-string.
You know, I thought there was a rule against this. I know even at Vegas.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's only law. Yeah. I mean, really.
Yeah.
It's just the law of the land. So it's not that big of a deal.
It's not that big. But you go to Vegas, they're called 18 and over shows. That means you have to show an ID.
Yeah, but these kids identify as 22-year-olds.
Oh,
see?
Oh yeah.
That's
the
right.
Little 5-year-old and 6-year-old.
Right. Yeah. They identify as a 22-year-old gay person.
Yeah, and are dragged across the stage
right. With
the drag queens, wanting them to walk a certain way and look.
Right, and when they say no, they actually mean yes.
Yeah, oh yeah, got it. And the police did nothing to support the laws of minors shouldn't be in bars, number one, and minors shouldn't be in.
Right, because we shouldn't actually have police.
No.
Because police are bad.
Okay.
Because they're trying to enforce these laws that don't make any sense and aren't even relevant.
Mm.
So why even have them?
We just defund
the police. And they carry guns, and so why would you even talk to anybody that carries a gun? Because it's only the law that allows you to carry a gun, but the laws don't matter anymore.
Are we gaslighting right now?
I don't know where I'm at now.
I think we're gaslighting. And what's our show about? Solutions.
That's right.
Solutions, right?
So the solution is have a foundation.
Well, you know, I started looking for solutions. All right. So I typed in this this thing that I wanted to get into, which was groups that support or groups that
that
fight the gay agenda or against.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So you want to look that up, too, to find out that I'm not the only one that's going nutso? And what did you find out? And I think this is hugely amazing. But when I looked this up, they always termed hate groups, the hate groups that are against the LGBT, and they start listing these groups. And I'm trying to find a pro group, like a solution group, that has some answers. Out of the list that I went to, I only found one that was listed in the first page of the Google search.
This is interesting. So what I typed in is groups that fight LGBT.
And what did you find?
First one is advocacy and support organizations for lesbian, gay.
Yeah.
Organizations working to improve the lives of LGBT. Human rights campaign. And this is fights. Okay, see, I get it. The way Google works is not off of the phrase, but off of the key words. And they see groups fight LGBT. And so that's why it's pulling up this way. And so let's put in groups against.
Well, that's right.
See.
I put groups standing against LGBT, and this is what
there we go. Okay.
8 anti-gay groups and their propaganda. Anti-LGBTQ Southern Poverty Law Center. Pushing against the LGBT agenda and its growing influence. So that's finally one that's positive. Then we have another one. Anti-LGBTQ hate groups on the rise in the U.S.
Oh, hate groups. Okay. Orange,
yeah. All right. 7 companies that do not support gay rights by the Huffington Post.
Oh, who do I need?
Huffington Post.
Yeah.
who do I need to shop at, Lil?
Yeah. And these leaders are standing up to anti-LGBT bullying. Wow. So out of this group, I got one that kind of came up that was positive.
Yeah.
And that was from the Christian Broadcasting Center. And they're pretty much taking a stand to continually to say, hey, you know, we need to treat this as a sin like any other sin. And I do believe that.
Yeah.
But then you have this file, and I found another group that said the Gay Agenda Blueprint, the plan to transform America. And so they're at least getting their ideas out.
Yeah.
But that's on DuckDuckGo. But you're on Google. What did you get?
Very similar. 18 anti-gay groups and their propaganda. Oh,
gee, I know,
gay.
Right?
Which was Southern Poverty Law.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-equality organizations, groups opposed to gay rights, rake in millions as states debate. List of organizations designated by Southern Poverty Law. Okay, that's kind of the same thing as before there.
So what do we do in the midst of this? I mean, because if right now we could easily have police come into the studio and they would arrest us for hate speech.
Even though, you know, we're exercising the First Amendment and just educating people of what's out there.
Yeah. And actually put a question out. Why? What is the deal right now? And here's the question. Why are we allowing groups to sexualize children at a young age? What is going on? Why are we allowing sexuality to be even talked about in the classroom or being propagated by a lesbian group or a homosexual group?
Yeah.
And they're saying this to kids at a young age. Why are we allowing this? We don't even talk about heterosexual sex in children's elementary education until years have gone by.
Well, and even in the past, yeah. Now it's, you know, they pop out of the womb and we start telling them about it now. I mean, it's almost to that extent.
So what are we going to do? I have a solution. Here's our first solution, and I think Tuck just stumbled onto it. When we started doing this gaslighting thing, he yelled out on one name. Did you hear it?
Yep.
Yahweh. You know, we just finished up on Sunday was the feast of
Shavuot.
Mm-hmm.
What a glorious experience, right?
That was nice.
And a little, you know, freezing, chilly, shocking
weather.
Well, that too.
It was actually kind of warmer outside. It was just a lot of storm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but, you know, then the, you know, little dip in the creek.
Oh, the baptism. You know? Yeah. Well, the baptisms were cold, you know, but I was so moved seeing children in our congregation dancing and praising and giving praises to the King of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. There wasn't any other agenda except to praise the Lord for the blessings that he's given us.
Yeah. Hey, you're wearing a shirt there that I just kind of noticed.
Hey, what is that?
That's kind of cool. It says Yahweh and Sons. It's got this old-timey truck on it. Mm-hmm. That says Yahweh and Sons Kingdom Movers. It says family-owned and operated since the beginning of time.
Right. I love it.
That's cool.
Maybe that's our solution. Number one solution.
Yeah.
Start praising Yah. We had all kinds of people show up at the fellowship who had never even been in our fellowship before.
Great.
And I talked to them afterwards. I said, so, you know, have you ever been to a Hebrews sort of thing to where we're giving praises, blowing shofars, yelling out his name, singing and praising, giving testimony, you know? No, never been to this place before. I said, so how did you like it? Loved it. It's the most refreshing thing I've ever heard in a long time.
That's great.
And I'm thinking, wow, okay. So we hear all this negativity. I think now is the time to yell at his name louder than we've ever yelled it before.
Yeah.
I think that's the number one solution. Start giving praises. I mean,
and
what do you guys
sure
think?
Make sure that we leave the control in his hands
mm-hmm.
and not take it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with that, Tuck? I mean, you'd mentioned some of this before the break. I mean, what happens when we react? I mean, because it's so easy to react to this stuff. I hear it.
The whole concept is you stop thinking when you react. You know, situation is presented to you, whether it be words or actions, and you see that in your instinct, your body, your mind, whatever, you react, and you start going into automatic mode, and you're not thinking anymore. You are just reacting to a situation. And as soon as you stop thinking, you take Yahweh out.
What are some of the emotions that we go through when we react versus thinking?
Well, I think it all depends on where we're at prior to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then what it is that is affecting us. So because it could go different ways. We could be in a good, happy place, and a thing comes in, and it just takes us down really bad.
Yeah.
Or it turns us mad. You know, so it really kind of
comes up quick.
Yeah. You know, so it really kind of depends, but probably a lot of times it does probably go towards the anger, probably most of the time, especially the way the world is right now, that when that stuff comes in.
Well, I found myself getting angry really quick as soon as I found out about this drag your kid to.
Yeah.
Drag Queen Day, and it was more of a righteous anger that built up, but I had to take a breath, okay, breathe it in, and go, okay, Father, how do I approach this?
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
And the answer that came clearly was, get on your knees, brother.
Yeah. Right. Right.
It's his battle.
Yeah.
It's Yahweh's battle against evil. It's not ours. It's his. And we have to call upon him to take the lead.
But isn't this apathetic? I mean, doesn't that go down the road of apathy, saying, I don't want to make a statement myself?
If all you do is pray to him and say, Lord, do something, you have to say, Lord, do something and tell me what to do.
Yeah, what is my place? Yeah.
I like
that. What is my place? Because if you say nothing, you say, go ahead and take care of it, Lord, and he will. Because that's his way, but he wants action from you as well.
And maybe that action is to make a statement. I think like...
For some people, sure.
Yeah, because John the Baptist, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's out preaching in the wilderness. Put your focus on Yahweh and repent and be baptized.
Right.
So that's a good step, right? That's mm-hmm. what we're talking about. But he went a step further, okay? Because the Roman guy comes in and says, stop it.
Through the darkest night, through the shadow of death, through the light.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and we are looking for solutions in the midst of a world that is filled with all kinds of turmoil. Yeah, in a world. You know, and, you know, we always complain. We think that life is, you know, terrible, and many of us don't look for solutions. But today, we have a young lady on with us that is looking for solutions, and I just really admire her for doing that. Her name is Armani, and she has some things she's going to be sharing with us today, and I'm just anxious to find out, you guys, on what she has to bring to the table. Are you?
Yes!
Armani, are you there?
Absolutely, positively.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's good to have you. It's just awesome. Hey, so Armani, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Where do you come from? Let's do that first before we get into your mission. Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm obviously Armani, but I'm 21 years old, and I'm actually the oldest of 12 children, so I have 11 siblings, and which to me this is just such a blessing because I just really appreciate having younger ones to be able to show the example to. This is really, and just everything that my parents have shown me along the way to be that example for them. It's not always easy, but I just really appreciate the role that the Father's put me in, and I'm just really thankful for that. So.
Wow, so you're 21, and you're the eldest of 12. Give us some ideas of some things that you help out in the house with, just you know, because people can, I don't even think people can imagine 12 kids anymore. Most most people, you know, have 1, 2, at the most 3, but 12. I mean, so how are you part of that team? What do you do?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the things, obviously, with a larger family is the cooking aspect. So when it comes to the cooking and getting the meals ready, that's something I help my mom with, where we just we'll plan the meals and then cook them, and we also have different teams that will help with the actual execution of the meals. But that's one of the things I help out with, and just looking at, after the younger ones too is always a need. To really be there for them if they need something.
Wow.
But yeah, that's a few of the things I help out with. And then
so take a moment here, because I think if I were to listen to some modern day person, okay, that had an agenda for individuality, you know, and in making sure that you have your own rights, they might look at this and go, well, that Armani girl, she's held in check, and
she's being oppressed.
She's being oppressed. how do you feel about that? I mean, do you feel oppression? Do you still feel like you have your own life and you're smart and you're intelligent and you can, you know, move forward? I mean, what do you feel like?
Yeah, well, there in life, there's always these ups and downs. My parents are very I feel very blessed because they just invest into us, and they give us, like, they really want to know what our desires are, and they help us fulfill those desires and those dreams out. And sometimes it's they'll give us that time, and they'll even help us along the way to go there. Mm-hmm. And so I know that personally those desires and those dreams, I can live them out. Because they're supporting me through that, and yes, being the, like, helping out with the family is part of it, because it's just shaping us and molding us to become, eventually, like, just to become parents ourselves. It's molding us that way.
Nice.
But there's definitely there's ups and downs where sometimes the, you know, you get discouraged, but then you get back up knowing that the Lord will be there with you.
Uh-huh.
And just keep, like, so I always have that time to where I can still do my studies and still, you know, go after my desires. And then there's also these times where it's time to give in to what your parents have given in to, as far as giving back to the family.
Yeah, well, it's called work. I mean, most.
Exactly.
People that learn how to work learn responsibility. I mean, it's pretty amazing. But
are you saying that anybody that works for somebody doesn't have freedoms?
Yeah, right.
Come on, that's just mean.
You know, hey, so what are some of those desires? Because I know that you dance, and I know you love academics. What kind of dance do you do?
So I do classical, mostly classical ballet. I've done different kinds of dancing over the years. For 4.5 years of when I was younger, from 8 to 13, I did classical ballet. But I've also gotten recently into Davidic dancing. And I've also touched different kinds of dancing, like modern and jazz and character. But I just, yeah, dancing is really one of my passions.
Wow.
I love to express myself that way.
You know, and you have another passion that's coming up for you very soon. And I think this is where maybe your parents have been helping you out, but you're going to be going on a journey. You want to tell us what's happening in your life very soon?
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually, so the father just opened the window for me to be able to go for a few months stay in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited about that. In Jerusalem, I'll be staying in Jerusalem. And I'll be studying Hebrew at the same time, and also staying with this family. They're American missionaries, and I'll be able to help and serve them while I'm over there.
Wow. So what got into you to go to Israel? I mean, most people are going, oh, man, I don't know. That's a pretty messed up place right now. I mean, what actually got you into doing this?
So our family actually went to Israel twice before, and as a family. And then my dad and my brothers went back twice, another two times. But we just, our heart just really, we love the people of Israel, and I fell in love with the land. But also my growing passion for learning Hebrew, the language just really resonates with, I just love how they express themselves through Hebrew, and I really want to go back to that language of how they were speaking back then,
mm-hmm.
in our Messiah's time. And so just to really, that's just been really a passion. And to be able to go into Israel, to me, yes, there's things over there, and there's war, and there's terrorists, like, or rumors of terrorist attacks. Mm-hmm. And so, but for me, I'm really, every time we've gone over there, there's just been a peace and a shalom that you feel when you're over there. You feel the Father protecting you everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
And it surpasses that feeling of oppression.
Wow. That, I thought homeschoolers were supposed to be naive people with not very much.
Yeah, and you know, and
what's up with that?
They need extra social time and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah,
but I guess in a family of 12, you've got plenty of social time built in.
I know, right? So, I mean, this girl doesn't sound naive to me. I mean,
no,
it sounds like she wants to go, and she's brave.
Yeah,
I mean, so homeschoolers aren't supposed to be that, are they?
Actually, they are. It's just what we hear about.
The primary thing for Armani is that she's trusting Yahweh.
Oh, she is trusting Yahweh. I think I'm hearing that, too.
Yeah.
Wow. So how's it going? I mean, it's got to be kind of expensive to go to Israel. I mean, are you able to raise enough funds, or how's this going to happen?
Well, yeah. So I've been doing different things, but that is one of my requests, is that I still am trying to raise funds for my trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for anyone who just has that heart to, if they have the heart to give towards my trip, I would greatly appreciate that. That's something that would really bless me.
All right. So tell people a little bit here why Hebrew is so important to you. And then we're going to come back to that money thing again. Okay. Because I want people to know how to give to you.
Yeah. Because I want to know how to give that money thing again.
I know. But what about Hebrew is so important to you? I mean, why do you think that that language is an important area in your life? And why do you think going to Israel could make any difference with your family or the people that are around you? So those are two questions. Mm-hmm. What's about the language that has drawn you, and what are you going to take from it? And number two, what are you going to give back after being there to your family or to your fellowship or to those that are around you, your friends, associates? Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. For one, Hebrew, it's been, I feel like the language, but also the culture, they just have a passion. The Jewish people and the people of Israel have been oppressed for so many years. And whenever I go there, I see through the culture, they have this spirit of just like wanting life. They just, they hunger for just life, and but also unity. And I feel like that portrays itself through the language, just their passion to, like, they want to be able to live and to be able to have unity as a community as well. And that's just something that's really always resonated with my heart, because going back to my family, I've always prayed for unity in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And also that, you know, that abundance of life would flow as well. So I think it just, in that those two senses, it connects me with the language.
Wow. So,
and then,
you wanna, keep on going. What are you going to bring back?
Bring back, okay. So obviously one of my prayers is to be able to meet with people, connect with people, to make and if the Father can use me that way, that's something that I would really be a blessing to me. But also, well, first of all, to give to this family, as far as helping them with whatever they need. They have three younger children, and so I would be helping with taking care of the children and cooking, cleaning, organizing. and then my ultimate desire, my ultimate prayer is with the Hebrew, when I come back, that I'll be able to show my younger siblings how to speak Hebrew as well. So those
well, you
are
know,
a
we,
few things.
I was making a deal with you the other day that if you come on back, you're going to have to talk to the fellowship about your experience, right?
Yes, totally. Yeah.
So is that a deterrent for you?
There is something to be said about education. You know, we always think that education is just book learning, or at least people sometimes form that opinion. But when young people mm-hmm. like yourself go out to do an experience, it can change your life. I mean, it can motivate you to become whatever you decide you're going to be. Maybe you want to remain as a house mom and raise kids in the way of the Lord. Maybe you want to become a teacher outside of that. Maybe you want to become a physician outside of that, because something motivates you. You learn something. And when people go on a mission trip, quote, they usually come back a changed person. What are some of those changes that you want to see happen in your own life? Is there a madness in your own head of thinking, hey, if I go there, I think I might see something differently? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
What do you think that might be? That's a tough question.
That's a good question, because I've thought about it, and I know that this this chip will not, like, leave me unchanged. Mm-hmm. Or I'm praying for that, actually. But, and of course, any situation in life, you go through it and you come back differently.
Yeah.
And my prayer is that it comes back positively because, but yeah, just,
me?
Of course, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I would love to just have a deeper love for Israel even more as I go over there, that would just like ignite even more. That's one of my desires as I go over there. Also to have like a deeper understanding of the Jewish people, where they are at, as far as knowing the Lord, but also what's their understanding as far, because a lot of them don't have the Messiah in them. And so my desire is to, sometimes I feel like I would love to minister to them, but then it's also, I don't want to, because it's hard to go that way because sometimes it can become a hurt or a problem.
Yeah.
But, just, I would love to understand their heart more. Where are they at? And, if there's openings, I can just portray that love to them. And so that's something I would like to bring back, is just a deeper understanding of where they're at as far as knowing the Lord, but also praying that they eventually come to the Messiah.
I love that, you know, and it's going to be, in my estimation, staying over in a foreign land for 3 months, that's going to be a growing up experience like you've never had before. And you're going to mature in a way that's amazing. Speaking of maturity and growing up, you're going over there to do a particular job, and it's around this word that we call Aliyah. What is Aliyah, and how are you going to be involved in helping out in that area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the family I'll be helping with, they have been missionaries over there for a few years, and they work for a ministry called One Mission. And what they do is they try to they're there to work to repair the Christian and Jewish alliance, or to repair that bridge between the two. And they also work, like you said, to bring Jewish immigrants back into land so that they can make Aliyah return. And they help them settle down and get immersed into the culture and life in Israel. And when I go help them, that's something that I'll be helping within the home, but also they're being able to help with the going into the Aliyah Center and helping and meeting people over there that have made Aliyah or making Aliyah.
Aliyah for the listener means what? What are people trying to do? What does that mean?
So it basically means return to the land. The Jewish people over several years have been scattered over all of the nations, and now they're coming back, and it's part of the prophecy that they're going to come back. And so it's now that it's happening that they're actually coming back. And so people are helping them come back, because just moving in itself is hard, but coming back into a different culture, a different country is a whole different challenge. And so people are helping them come back. And you see the desire in these Jewish people to come back to their homeland, and it's just beautiful to see how the Lord's working in that way.
Wow! So, guys, this is pretty cool. I mean, she's actually going to be involved in helping people make this journey. You know, she's learning Hebrew. She's going to be taking on a number of responsibilities. So it's not just a giddy up, let's go have a mission trip, go for a week, have fun and party.
So seriously mature thing to be doing as a young person.
I know, right?
She's acting like an adult.
I love it. Well, she is.
I know.
You know, but the thing that's weird to me is whenever I look at most mission trips, I don't give them a lot of credit, because mission trips are usually like, let's go 5-6 days. Yep. We're going to be at a place.
Maybe build a church.
Build a church, you know, and then we go swim and we have a great, great, great time.
Right.
But when you're there for a long time,
you become one. That's what your attempt is to become one with the people.
Yeah, and you learn.
And that's how you can make an effect.
Yeah, a big effect. My niece had gone down to the Philippines. She stayed there for a year. and life-changing event for her, just life-changing. And had to learn how to deal with the culture, different way of thinking. And she came back, went into nursing school, and she's loving it, you know. And now she's working as a nurse.
Amen.
Her first day at the clinic, they gave her a duty that wasn't so great. I mean, get a hold of this. She had only done pre-nursing programs. She shows up to the clinic, and they go, well, your job is going to be to circumcise all these young men in one day. All day long. For 8 hours.
That's a seriously tough call.
She calls back, says, you won't believe what I had to do today. So, Armani, I know you're not going to be doing that, but I'll tell you what. I think it's amazing, and I'm so proud of you for making a decision like this. So let's get into this other side of things, because I know the Lord's going to make a difference in your life. You're going to come back stronger, healthier, and in a way that you're going to see things differently. We need people to give to you, okay? And do you have a spot where they can give, or would you like us to ask people to send money in a different direction? And how can they help you? I mean, what kind of funds do you still need? What are you short of?
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, yes, I do actually have a website. And it's if anyone who has a heart to give and to support me, I would greatly appreciate and just be, I'm so thankful for that. But, yeah, my website is tinyurl.com. And then mission trip Israel. Sorry.
Okay, so say it again. Really slow.
Yeah, tinyurl.com/mission trip Israel.
You got that written down, Aaron?
Is that tiny T-I-N-Y?
Yes.
Okay. Tiny at URL.com.
Like a type.
Yeah, come on, Aaron. Get with it. Say it again, Armani.
tinyurl.com/missiontripisrael.
Awesome. Yeah, we need to be, you know, doing that. I mean, when you announce something three times, Armani, that's when people finally start to get it, right? It's a magic number.
Well, that, we see that in the Word, too. That's how the Father gets our attention, oftentimes,
yes.
By repeating it more than once.
Yes. Listen up, listen up, listen up. And I want folks out there, if you're listening, this is a young lady that is a fantastic woman. We've got to meet her at her fellowship, and I want to encourage everyone to give and help her make this trip, and that she comes, you know, and finds her mission with Yahweh. What is that? I mean, Paul talks about this a lot in the New Testament, that everyone is worth their wages. And this woman's going to be working over there. She's going to be helping. She's not just on a vacation trip. She's learning, educating herself, and it would be a fantastic way to support someone. Armani, any words of wisdom that you would give young people? Because we're trying to find solutions. We have 2 minutes left. Whoa, not even that. Hang on tight for a minute. Don't go away.
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Good morning and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001, 503-967-3001. His people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. We're talking to a young lady by the name of Armani. And she's making a bid to go to Israel and do not only mission work, but she's going to be learning, increasing her education there, as well as helping out bring people to Aliyah. What's your website there, Aaron, that people can donate and give?
Well, I'm not looking at it, so I may get it wrong, okay. But it should be tinyurl.com/, and I lost it.
Israeli trip.
Maybe we're doing this on purpose. This, yeah. Okay, let's do it. Tiny, T-I-N-Y.
U-R-L.
U-R-L.
.com.
.com. Armani, finish it up for us.
/missiontripisrael.
Mission trip.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
I
knew the Israel part, but I was like, well, there's something else in there and I can't remember it.
See, now.
Mission trip.
Israel.
Yeah.
We should get it straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe people get it straight now, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, come on, man.
So one more time, all together. tinyurl.com/missiontripisrael.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
You know, just before the break, we were starting to ask Armani a question, because here we are today, guys. We've been talking about the world, how it's kind of upside down.
Yeah.
And we're even having months dedicated to a lifestyle that is not of Yahweh, that is not of the Torah. And I'm kind of curious, since we have a young person on the phone with us, okay, that maybe we'll get educated ourselves, you know, as old guys.
How would she advise people?
Yeah, I'm wanting to know what she's thinking and what she's feeling here. You know, what kind of solutions can young people provide in a world that is seemingly upside down? And we gave her 4 minutes to think about this big answer. Da-da-da! And we're looking to see what she has to say. So, Armani, we gave you that question. We're dying to know what's in your heart, what's in your mind, and in this area. And what do you think? What kind of solutions can be provided in a world that's upside down?
Hmm. Well, yeah, obviously, there's a lot of negativity around us. I mean, there's probably several answers to this question, but I've found three. That I just want to share, but I think one of the turning away negativity or negative thoughts is just that when we just praise the Lord, we just turn our hearts in worship and praising Him. It's as if all of the negativity and all of the evil around us just slides off, and just it's no longer there because mm-hmm. we're just praising the Lord, and just really thanking Him for every good thing that He gives into our heart, into our lives. And even if it's things that are hard, or even if it's things that are difficult to overcome, those things are worth, like, we need to praise Him for those things, because He turns those hard things into good things in our lives, and it also helps us grow to become stronger for mm-hmm. To be faithful in the little. That way we can be strong in the greater things.
Love it.
So I think just praising mm-hmm. the Lord is one of those things, because when we start focusing on negativity, we just it's easy to get the seed of discontentment that starts growing in us, and it's a ripple effect, and it keeps going, and then we feel entangled in that, and we feel like the enemy takes a hold of us that way.
Right.
But praising the mm-hmm. Lord takes away those shackles and those takes away what the enemy is trying to have a grip on us. And then also, I would say trusting in the Lord through whatever situation, whatever thing may arise, if we just are strong on trusting in Him and on Yeshua, our rock, then there's nothing that can shake us or nothing that can come against us that will make us fall, uh-huh. because... Mm-hmm. our trust is in Yahweh, and so that would be another one. And then also, as far as bringing positivity into the world, it's important to we want to live positive lives, but we also want to bring back into the community. I would say our words have a great impact on what environment we bring around us. And so if our words can bring life to others, then already we're putting more positivity than there is already, and just building up instead of destroying. We want to plant those seeds of positivity instead of negativity or discontentment. That whatever is evil, we can turn into good, because that's what the Father does for us.
Wow.
So. Amen.
Praise,
trust, and words of life. Praise, trust, and words of life.
You sounds know, like a solution to me.
It's pretty good, you know. And Armani, I don't know about you, but when we were celebrating Shavuot, and you know, I have to be over in the corner because I have to help run some of the slides.
Because you usually are, you know, a naughty boy and have to be in the corner.
Yeah, right. You know, but I got to run some things over there. But one of the things that's kind of cool is I get to look at the joy that's in that dance circle. Now, yeah, Angie and I need to come join the big circle because I actually love dancing and I get pretty crazy out there when I do it. But
okay, I gotta see that more.
Oh,
often.
It is awesome. it's just. But what I saw was people smiling and receiving and being filled with the Spirit. I mean, what happens to you when you give praise like that?
Well, to me, dancing is just, I love connecting with the Father that way, because I think someone mentioned that this week, actually, that it's a sacrifice that we're offering up to Yahweh when we dance before Him, like David danced. And to me, it brings me joy, but also I'm able to connect with the Father that way, just to actually that the words and the music sink in, and we use them into dance steps, and I think to me, I'm able to praise and worship Him that way. Is just such a joy for me. But I also feel Him connecting with me in that way. So that's just like, that's my expression of how I love to worship Him.
I think you were actually listening to me on Sabbath. That was the Bible text I used, maybe.
Which was Romans 12.
Oh, so that's who was listening to you.
Yeah, must have. Someone might have.
I don't know. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual
service of worship. And we are talking about the wave offering and coming forth before Him with joy and celebration.
It's like looking at every major battle that Israel was in their history.
Right.
How did Yahweh prepare them? Through praise and worship.
Praise and worship.
And in a warfare type situation, that doesn't make sense to most of us.
Right.
When we think of it. But praising Yahweh is the greatest thing that we can do, because He's going to win the battle, mm-hmm. not us. Him.
Yeah, they led with the shofars, yep. and the musicians, and that
and sang and danced.
That was in front of the armies, and you're going, really? I mean, that's nuts.
Yeah.
But it was true. And it
kind of fits along with our Armani's solution. Praise,
trust, and bring words of life to the community.
Amen.
Armani, we have really enjoyed our time with you, and hopefully this wasn't too what's the word?
Intimidating?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's where you were going.
But you did fantastic. Thank you for sharing with us, and thank you for being willing to go to Israel and to do what you're going to be doing.
I just want to thank you for all of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you to all of you wise guys for just opening this door of, like, I can be here with you guys. I really appreciate it.
Oh, we love having you. Aaron has a comment for you.
I was just going to say, let's give us the website just one more time.
Okay. So tinyurl.com/missiontripisrael.
That's where you guys can give to Armani and to help this to come true for her. So no slackers, right?
There you go. No slackers.
No slackers. Armani, we appreciate you. We love you, and we want to thank you for coming on with us. And may Yahweh continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Blessings to you as well.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, what a wonderful testimony, right?
Yeah.
Man, so you going to give?
Well, I want to, but I, you know, got to check with, you know.
The wife.
Exactly.
The powers
that be. Exactly.
I know. I'm anxious to give, and I'm going to be doing that. It's so cool that a young person's willing to go to great lengths to further that mission of being called out. You know, being called out, you know, there's all sorts of ways that we can do this. Armani had talked about praise, trust in words. In fact, we started today's show off with the first thing to do is to praise. We talked about Shavuot. Is there ever a time, though, where speaking up is a good thing? And in shows past, we've talked about this. How does a believer speak up? Is it only positive words? Is it only through prayer? Tuck, you had brought this up. We just got to pray and let the Lord do this.
One of the things that I believe, I feel, is a believer, not a Christian believer, but I can be categorized that way, but a Hebraic believer or whatever kind of believer believes in the Word of the complete Word of God, that we stand up and express the truth. What is prophecy? Everybody seems to be stuck on the concept that prophecy is future telling. And it's not future telling, it's truth telling.
It's exhorting.
Yeah. And sometimes that's past knowledge, sometimes that's current knowledge, sometimes it's ahead knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But it is truth. Whatever that truth is that Yahweh leads you to, that you seem to have a particular grasp of right now at this point in time, that Yahweh desires you to express yourself and tell the world what your piece of truth is right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so that's what we are to do, is to tell the truth.
But there are some people that say, well, it's got to be my truth. But I think you're saying it's not my truth.
No, it's truth.
Which is what?
His truth.
It's his truth. Yahweh's truth. And sometimes that's hard to take because it doesn't feel good. Sometimes it's a tough chore that you are given because of your current physical status or your current mental status, whatever it is, and it's a trial for you to do this completely. Yet this is what Yahweh gave you, and he's not going to give you something that you cannot do.
Wow. Let me give you an example of speaking truth. Are you guys ready?
Uh-oh, look out. Yeah. Look out! Here comes a rolling batch truth bomb.
I have my shield up. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now in these days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
Amen.
Now that's his first truth. So in a world that's upside down and backwards.
In a world.
Yeah.
It's upside down and backwards.
John says, "Repent."
Apologize for your sins.
He apologized. Okay, so then he says this, for this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So he quotes Isaiah as prophecy, saying, this is the work I've been given to do, and I'm here to tell you to repent. So then he goes on. Okay, this is kind of interesting. Now, John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Well, a lot of people have arguments about if locust is a grasshopper locust or if it's another grain type material that has the same name as locust.
Oh, okay.
So either one, it wasn't a huge diet.
No.
Wasn't T-bone steaks and veggies.
Which you like steak, right?
Oh, I eat steak, but I don't.
So do you think you could live on this diet?
Oh, I'm sure I could.
Oh, yeah. Then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. So he did pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. He got them all to come out. But then there's this word but in verse 7. So I'm reading from Matthew 3, 7.
Okay.
So here where he speaks differently, but.
They all came out.
Yeah.
But.
But. When he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father,' for I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Whoa, did he mince words?
No. No, just kind of just laid it right out there. There it is. Silver platter and all.
Here it is.
Have at it.
You know, some of these guys, I mean, I could just see them. So the Pharisees and Sadducees are coming out to be part of the game plan because they're seeing everyone else doing it.
Yeah.
But yet he calls them out. You know what reminds me of this? This is what is interesting, is that during the COVID thing, many churches shut down completely.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And I was just listening to a couple of the evangelical, quote, churches that were on the radio here just a few weeks ago. And they were saying, "Hey, we're open. Come on back. You can do it.
Don't have to worry about being afraid anymore.
We shut down for 2 years, you know. And to me, that's the same picture as these Pharisees and Sadducees. They weren't bringing forth good fruit.
Yeah.
And they were living in fear. And yet John the Baptist called them out on it and says, "Where's your fruit?"
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of us probably need to stand up against saying, you know, where's the fruit? What did you guys do? What were you doing during a time of fear? Were you giving praise? Were you trusting?
Right.
Were you giving words of life? That Armani said was part of that whole turnaround thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to kind of wrestle with that. And John the Baptist not only spoke against the Pharisees and Sadducees, he turned to Herod, who was living in sin, and said, "You're a sinner." So he pointed out the truth.
Where did that get him?
I got his head cut off. Right? But Tuck just said part of prophecy is speaking
the truth.
The truth.
Regardless of how difficult it may be.
Right.
Sometimes it's a simple thing. Sometimes it's not so simple.
Wow.
So long as it's true.
So what is truth in an upside down world? An upside down world would be Torah. Mm-hmm. You need to listen to this truth.
Mm-hmm.
It would be basically anything that you hear out in the public, news media, and doing the opposite. that's basically what it's going to be, right?
Yeah. I know, right?
It really we would. Need to eat more pizza. Okay, I guess I no longer eat pizza yeah. now. Okay. You know, it's like.
Let's think of the truth
givers. We had the truth givers. Again, we've repeated this many times, but Elijah goes up to Ahab and says, "It's you who's brought on this famine."
Yeah.
Because Ahab came up to Elijah and says, "Oh, troublemaker of Israel. It's you who brought on this famine." And Elijah turns around and goes, "Nope, it's you." And we have Esther going up to the king, pointing out the bad guy, Haman. "It's you, Haman." Here's another text here for you guys to get a hold of. Because truth isn't always a good thing, but sometimes it can work out to your benefit. I'm going to be reading from Acts 22. Acts 22. And in this thing that is happening, Paul is relaying a message to the people of Israel, all right? And he's telling them to get up and be baptized and all this kind of stuff. And he comes into a problem.
And this problem has to do with reactions to his defense. And sometimes he gets a violent thing that happens to him. So I'm in verse 21 of chapter 22. And he says, and he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. This is Paul telling all the Jewish believers that he has a message to give to the Gentiles. Okay. And they listened to him up to this statement. Then they raised their voices and said, are you ready? Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. Don't you love this? Okay, because he's telling them, the Lord gave me a mission. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to go to the Gentiles.
Yep.
And they go, away with you. You're to be killed.
And as they were crying out and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust into the air. I mean, you get the picture? The commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks, stating that he should be examined by scourging so that he might find out the reason why they're shouting against him that way. Now, get a hold of this. This is like modern day history, all right?
Yeah.
The cops come in. And they, rather than arresting Antifa or BLM, the ones that are actually causing the riots,
mm-hmm.
they go up to the ones that are peacefully standing there, giving prayer, and they say to them, you guys need to go away. You're causing these people to get angry.
The people that have been tearing down the Justice Center in downtown Portland.
And so look at this. This even happened back in Rome. The commander brings him into barracks, says that we need to scourge this guy. That means to whip him.
Yeah.
So that he might tell him
why other people are shouting to him like this. I mean, get a hold of this. And when they stretched him out with thongs, okay, that means they beat him pretty hard. Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, now get a hold of this. This is amazing. Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who's a Roman and uncondemned? Is it, I'm a citizen.
Why are you doing this?
And when the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and told him, what are you about to do? For this man is a Roman. And the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? And he said,
yes.
Okay. And the commander answered, I acquired this citizenship with a large sum of money. And Paul said, but I was actually born a citizen.
Ta-ta! Touché!
Therefore, those who are about to examine him immediately let go of him. And the commander also was afraid when he found out that he was a Roman and because he had put him in chains.
Okay, Aaron,
see the picture? You guys see the modern day picture of this?
So if we could apply that today, all I would have to do is just say,
I'm a U.S. citizen.
I'm a U.S. citizen.
But now they're laughing at us.
Right. And so it doesn't. Unfortunately, it wouldn't work quite the same way today, right? I'm a U.S. citizen. Oh, well, you really are bad then.
But I think the principle's the same.
Yeah.
Are you willing to stand up and make a statement?
Right.
There are two statements that Paul made. Number one, he took the risk of telling what he did for a living.
Yeah.
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Hey,
we be back. Dun, da, da.
Dun, da,
da. No, wait, Doc.
Throw a two twist in there. Rollins going, what?
Man, I don't know about you guys, but this has been good. I mean, we've been speaking with, or talking about, how do we make positive changes, solutions in the world that's upside down and gone crazy. And we're talking about praising. We've been using some biblical examples, but we had a wonderful guest that was with us. Her name was Armani, and she's going on a mission trip, not just for
a week, not just for
a quick getaway.
That was three months. Is that what it was?
3 months.
Yeah.
All right.
Where she's immersing herself in the language, in work, helping people form Aliyah, staying in a missionary's home. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So you can donate to her. How do they do that, Aaron?
Tuck's got it written down here. Oh, you have it in front of you?
It's tinyurl.com/missiontripisrael.
Yeah. Okay. There it is.
There it is, and you can donate to her cause and what she's doing. And
just be aware, if you type that in, that tiny URL thing, it actually sends it to a different URL. So if it looks different, not what you're thinking, when you see it up on the top of your web browser, that's the reason.
Yeah.
It's into somewhere else. So that's the easy way to get to where you want to go.
Perfect. We've been also talking about scriptural examples of standing up. Now, we just read you guys from Acts
22,
where Paul is having to make.
He didn't stand up to anybody, did he?
No. He just said, hey,
the Lord gave me a mission. I was supposed to go speak to the Gentiles, and that really
I mean,
blew dust in his face.
Nothing all that intimidating at all.
You know, you made a comment, Aaron, that there's really nothing new under the sun. And
right.
We saw the reactions in this text from chapter 22 from the Pharisees, who went absolutely berserk when he told them what his mission was.
Yeah.
Tossing dust in the air, taking off their cloaks and yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, but then Paul actually moved on forward, and when the centurion
brought him into the area where he was supposed to be whipped in order to tell him what
his
problem
was. Right, because he was the troublemaker.
He was the troublemaker.
You know, he was causing everybody to lose their mind because, you know, he was just there to speak truth.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
Nothing is new under the sun, is it?
No, absolutely not.
You know, what was really cool is that we had at that Texas thing on the drag your kid to drag day solution, there was finally, a number of adults and parents were outside that establishment giving protest to it. It was peaceful, and they were giving.
No. They were causing people to be just horrified
and
lose their minds by just standing outside with a sign, you know.
Yeah,
because the peaceful protest involves tactical brick throwing and throwing of Molotov cocktails and destroying public property with paint.
We don't arrest those people.
No, because that's peaceful protest.
Yeah, but people that just stand with a sign.
With a sign. Creating a major event.
It's a major event. Yeah, they were asking the police nicely. In fact, I saw this one protester that was out there, and he went up to a cop and he says, I thought the laws in Texas said that children shouldn't be in bars.
Yeah.
And so why are you allowing this?
The minors are in there.
Yeah. And the police said, well, I don't know.
And also there's a second law in Texas that said minors should not be in a sexually orientated establishment.
Right.
And so what do you do with that one? And the police officer said,
I can't do it.
I can't do it.
My orders are.
Be as stupid as I can be. I can handle it.
Yeah, right.
You know, but Paul here stands up for himself with the centurion, and he says,
hey, I'm a Roman citizen.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be whipping me.
And the guy that was really in charge said, hey, I bought my citizenship.
It's like, oh, really? Really? I just happened to be born as a Roman, you know. nothing fancy like you bought it.
No, he stood up for himself. And are there good words that we can say? I know we're called to give praise. I know we're supposed to trust. I know we're speak to words of life. But isn't words of life also saying this is wrong? Or shouldn't you be?
Yeah, like maybe we should, as human beings, as American born human beings, we should probably be protecting children from evil. We'll just say evil. That'll cover a lot of things.
Let me give you like another story. This is kind of cool. Okay. Just so you know, we're not living.
I would say yes to your question.
Yeah. This is found in the book of Yasher.
Okay.
Okay.
Just so people know, we're not promoting this as scripture. It's a historical account of early Hebrews.
Yeah.
And
just to prove that, you know, nothing is new under the sun.
New under the sun.
Here's Yasher saying, hey, here's what happened in history.
Yeah, because, I mean, in this book, and you'll find it in chapter 19 and also 18, you'll find that there's many atrocities happening to people. Like, if you were to come into Sodom, you guys, okay, and they wanted money from you, they would tell you, okay, you can rest in our house, and they put you on a special bed, right?
Okay.
And once you laid down to go to sleep, the men of the town would come, and they would hook your arms up and hook your feet up, and they'd start stretching you.
Well, and that's nice because, you know, you've been on this hike and this long journey, you know, stretch those muscles out for you, get you all loosened up and make it feel better.
They'd either kill you, rape you, or rob you. I mean, that's...
Okay, now that part of it is probably not quite as good as the...
And if they decided also to take something from you and strip you of everything, okay, you were not allowed to help the stranger that came in. So if he was stripped of all his money, stripped of his clothes, stripped of his food, he was stuck in the town and they would mock him for the rest of the time he was in the town.
Oh, look at the naked guy.
Yeah, right. And there was actually this one girl that helped out, and it came from the family of Lot, all right, who helped the stranger, and she gave him bread.
Why would you do that?
Oh, yeah, that's what they said. So they put her in a hole. Well, they first went ahead and covered her with honey, put her on a stake, and let the insects eat her away. It was that last event that caught Yahweh's attention that brought on the fire at Sodom and Gomorrah. But let me read you like another one. This is kind of funny. Eleazar, who's a servant of Sarah, okay? Sarah and Abraham.
Oh, yes, that Sarah.
He's told to go up to Lot because Sarah wants to know what Lot's doing. All right.
Okay.
So Eleazar went to Sodom, and he met a man of Sodom fighting with a stranger. And the man of Sodom stripped the poor man of all his clothes and went away. And this poor man cried out to Eleazar and supplicated his favor on account of what the man of Sodom had done to him.
He said,
This is what happened. And he said to him, why dost thou act thus to a poor man who came to this land? Why would you do this? And the man of Sodom answered Eleazar, saying, is this man thy brother, or have the people of Sodom made thee a judge this day, that thou speakest about this man? And Eleazar strove with the man of Sodom on the account of the poor man. And when Eleazar approached to recover the poor man's clothes from the man of Sodom, he hastened, and with a stone smote Eleazar in the forehead. Okay, so let's get the picture, because we're using some different language. All right? So Eleazar questions the thief about,
just asking, hey, why would you be mean to this guy?
Right.
Okay.
Someone that comes into your land, and the thief hits Eleazar in the head with a stone. Okay? Now, we go on, and the blood flowed copiously from Eleazar's forehead, and when the man saw the blood, he caught hold of Eleazar, saying, give me my hire for having rid thee of this bad blood that was in thy forehead, for such is the custom and the law in our land.
So I just busted your head open to let out all the bad blood because you asked me a question of what I was doing. So now you bless me because I released all the blood from your head.
Okay, so this upside down world isn't just now, okay? It was long ago. Now get a hold of this. And Eleazar said to him, thou hast wounded me and required me to pay thee for thy hire And Eliezer would not hearken to the words of the man of Sodom. He says, I'm not going to believe you. Now get all this. And the man laid hold of Eliezer and brought him to Shakra, the judge of Sodom, for judgment. So now he's going to go into court. And the man spoke to the judge, saying, I beseech thee, my lord, thou hast this man done, for I smote him with a stone, that the blood flowed him from the from his forehead, and he's unwilling to give me money.
Beat the crap out of the guy, and he won't pay me for it.
And the judge said to Eliezer, this man speaks truth. Give him money, for this is the custom in our land. And Eliezer heard the words of the judge, and he lifted up a stone, and he smote the judge. And the stone struck on his forehead, and the blood flowed copiously, okay, from the forehead of the judge. And Eliezer said, if this, then, is the custom in your land, give thou unto this man what I should have given him, for this has been thy decision, and thou didst decree it. And Eliezer left the man of Sodom, and he left the judge, and he went on his way.
Amen to that.
I would have liked to have heard the judge's ruling after being hit in the head, because now all of the bad blood is flowed out of his head.
Yeah, right. I think he had second thoughts.
Right? Oh my goodness! What a messed up society that town had become.
Sodom was upside down. It didn't know truth, like Tut started out with us today. What is truth?
Yeah.
We find that the law of truth is in the Torah and in the life of Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
But when man gets a hold of things, things get upside down. Now, what did you learn? What are we learning right now from Eleazar, from Elijah, from Paul, from Esther? How do we stop a world from being turned upside down? Now, Armani brought us into the focus of what our first three steps should be. And I think it's very spiritual.
Yeah. Give those to us again.
Okay, which was to praise, mm-hmm. trust, and words of life.
Yeah.
Okay? So praise, trust, and words of life. But at the same time, we also notice that Eliezer calls out for justice.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah calls on truth. Paul calls on justice.
Yeah.
Is it time for us to reverse this? We've always been attacked from the left who claim that insanity is truth.
Yeah.
Paul is married to Paul rather than Paul is married to Jane.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul is married to Paul, Paul and a cat and a dog. That's all okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not truth.
Right.
Did you guys know the teachers now are wrestling with this identity thing to such an extent at schools that if a child legally says, I'm a dog today at a public school, a teacher has to respect their identity.
And take him out for a walk, for potty breaks.
Yeah, if he goes rough, rough, okay. Do you know this is happening? This is currently happening. We think Sodom, we are in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know, I think it would be rather amusing then to have an entire class be dogs for the day and just start. Why, you can't teach a dog. You can't teach a dog math.
We're going to start supplying cat litter for kids who
right.
want to be a cat that day in the back of the classroom.
I think we just need to start proving out how absurd their stuff is.
So notice the story from Eliezer. Eliezer
they all have cat.
Eliezer comes back and gives the same medicine back to the judge.
Yeah.
Amen.
What's that telling you about what maybe we should consider?
Is
same thing.
Right.
The truth.
Taking their stuff right back to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want this kind of life? Here's an example.
There it is.
It's important.
Yeah.
What are the three things again that I said?
Praise. And we did that because that was the Romans 12:1 text.
Mm-hmm.
Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, as a pleasing sacrifice
yeah.
of praise. Trust. God has all things under control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so even in Sodom and Gomorrah, we had to trust that Sodom and Gomorrah would face judgment.
Yeah. We just didn't know when that judgment would be.
We didn't.
If it was when it was or in the end time.
So even today, we have to trust this is upside downness will be turned right side up.
Right. We don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or when Yeshua returns.
We don't know.
We just know that it will happen.
The third thing is words of life. The words of life can be speaking truth if exhortation outside of just love. Many times we think as Christians or Bible believers or Torah believers or Hebrews that we're speaking words of love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes we know that people need love, right?
Yep.
They need to be assured that they're okay.
Yep.
But there are other times when people need a spoken word that cuts to the chase.
Which is also, if it's done correctly, can also be love.
Yeah. What you're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to take that next step as believers. Being willing to state out loud, not just hidden.
Yeah.
That's a sin. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, I'm going to be careful here. I was in a conversation and a young lady had great, great words of wisdom. And they were painful words, but, she was saying this is, she was saying something that had to happen here. And it was a hurtful thing that had to happen. And she says, this is about you and your walk with God. And it was just so wisdom. It's like, but it hurt her to say this. But it was out of love. Because the event was about this other individual and they're helping them in their walk.
Helping someone's walk can also be helping someone notice truth.
Yes.
If I were to say to a parent, dragging a kid to drag day is wrong.
Yeah.
They're either going to receive that truth or they're not going to receive it. Mm-hmm. But at least I know in the thrones of heaven, I've given witness to that person to let them be aware of what sin is.
And because you have stood up for what is right and an attempt to protect that child.
Yeah. Why are we afraid of those topics when we're not so afraid? Even in court still today, we say that killing a person is wrong.
Right.
Okay. We still have that. We have convictions that say it's wrong.
Right.
So why aren't we willing to say it's wrong to kill that baby who's just made it out of the vaginal canal and you're doing a partial birth abortion? That's wrong.
Right.
Or a kid that could be easily still operated on and live outside of the womb, but you're going to go ahead and kill it while it's still being in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
A child that's put on a table and he's being murdered or allowed to die. Why isn't that still called murder?
Well, here's why, Roland, because we don't know for sure if that thing is yet a human, because it could be a shoe. We don't know that, right?
We don't know its identity.
It could be a shoe. Maybe it could be a Volkswagen Bug.
Yeah,
you know.
I'd take offense at that, because then you're equating my car with fetus that they're wanting to kill.
Yeah, right.
But you have
and that's kind of their argument, is they're saying, well, we don't know, it's nothing yet.
So
it is.
So you're saying if this world takes away identity, and according to Scripture, what is our identity? I am a child of
Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Yes, that's my identity.
Mm-hmm.
I am a child of the living King.
Mm-hmm.
I have been given life, and I know who I am in Christ, the Messiah.
You're declaring, saying that is you're declaring your citizenship, just like Paul declared his Roman citizenship.
Yeah. I'm a citizen of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm a citizen of the kingdom, I know what's right and wrong because I'm reading truth.
Yeah.
And the Lord tells me what truth is. I never have to be in question more. I don't have to be in confusion. The world of chaos is confusion, and that's to erase identity. I don't know who you are, Tuck. Maybe you're a woman. Maybe you're a goat. Maybe you're a dog. I don't know. What are you? What do you feel like today?
I would buy that.
A little bit of monkey on me.
Right? A little bit of monkey. You know, so, yeah. Oh, my goodness. There was another text here that I wanted to just read you guys. Let's see if I can find it. It's kind of cool. I'm going to be in Acts 21, which is another one that is stated. Acts 21.
Paul is also being mocked in the temple on this one. This is another example. 22, he had to deal with maybe being threaded. But Paul actually does some of the right things. He's getting ready to speak to the Jews. And before speaking to the Jews, he has four men who are underway with him, okay, that have taken a vow, okay? And they purify themselves and they do everything that's appropriate. But then Paul takes the men the next day, purifying himself along with them, and goes to the temple, giving notice of the completion of the days of purification. So in short, Paul is following the rules of Torah before he speaks to the Jews.
Okay.
And when the 7 days were almost over, the Jews from Asia, upon seeing him in the temple, began to stir up the multitude and laid hands on him. And they cry out again, "Men of Israel, come out to our aid. This is the man who preaches to all the men everywhere against our people and against the law." So now get a hold of this. He's even being, because he's preaching to the Gentiles, he's being accused of not following the law. But yet he is.
Sure.
He's following all the processes. Okay, so these evil men that come in, they get all the city aroused, and the people rush together, and they take hold of Paul, and they drag him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. And while they were seeking to kill him, a report came up to the commander to the Roman cohort that all of Jerusalem was in confusion. Let's put that in modern-day time.
Yeah.
All the world is in confusion because a man is willing to stand up and preach the gospel. And at once he took along some soldiers and the centurions, and they ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. So it's Israel, the church, that's beating Paul, okay?
Yeah.
But they see the soldiers come in. Then the commander came up and took a hold of him. And they ordered him to be bound with two chains and began asking who he was and what he had done. So again, we have the same example. Paul's being blamed for the problem.
Well, you know, he was a troublemaker.
But among the crowd, some were shouting one thing and some another, and when he could not find out the facts on account of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. So he's brought into the barracks again. And when he got to the stairs, it so happened that he was carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. But the multitude of the people kept following behind him, crying out, "Away with him." And as Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek?" That's the one. Hang on tight. We're not coming back.
We're not coming back.
Read it yourself. Acts 21.
Darkness must flee from the light.